David Horsager, you're a father, you're a speaker, you're an author, and you've moved into an area where I think a lot of people don't move into, and that's the area of trust. You've written a book about that called The Trust Edge. Why trust?
Basically, to go back to the beginning, you know, in 1999, Lisa and I moved back to Minnesota. I'd been directing an organization in Arkansas. I began speaking a lot more and producing shows and speaking in conferences and whatnot. But it wasn't until 2003, Lisa and I were at a conference in Tucson, Arizona, and I was just thinking through two major questions. Number one, what really is the uniqueness that makes the greatest leaders in organizations? You know, I'm seeing these organizations. I was working with everything from military to ministries to companies. And I'm thinking, what makes those ones that kind of have the greatest impact the best? What makes them last? What makes them unique? And the other question I was asking is, what am I passionate about? What am I called to? What really is resonating with me? Because when I was thinking of my message, I had talked some about ethics and integrity and some of these other things, but it wasn't encompassing enough. It didn't hit it enough. And I can still remember exactly where Lisa and I were sitting at the end, after the whole conference was done, saying, you know what? I think it's trust. It was in that moment also that I said, it's not just trust. It's this advantage that happens when people gain trust. It's the trust edge. And that's, it came, I can remember distinctly where this came from. And, you know, we were talking and we didn't talk a lot at that conference. I was at the conference. Lisa was with me. So she loves to go run in the desert and she was on her own doing fun kind of touristy things. But it just hit me. And from that time on, then I began to research it. And, you know, a lot more came out of proving that out. But at first was just an idea of, I think this is the uniqueness of great leaders, and I think this really is where my passion lies.
Well, it's interesting because unless you stop and think about trust, because a lot of people write on integrity and leadership in a variety of ways, but what is the foundation? And until I read the book and got in contact with you, I never realized that it is truly trust. And trust is about everything, isn't it?
It is.
So let's talk just briefly for our audience's sake. Give me an example of a trust issue in everyday life.
All you have to do is pull out the paper, watch the news. There's a million trust issues. Everybody's been lied to. Everybody's been tricked. Everybody's had been promised one thing and not been delivered on. And you can look today, certainly you can look at every part of our society, from government to business, the marketplace, to sports and athletics. But really, you got to go home and say, how am I being trusted personally? How am I keep making and keeping promises? Am I, you know, what I speak about is not what everybody else should do. It's what you should do, what I should do individually. I don't talk so much about how much should we trust someone else, because we've been ripped off. We know that. But I talk about when you do become most trusted, you become most successful, both in impact and if you're a company or a person in your bottom line. So there's so many issues we could talk about. You know, one that I share in the book that's maybe kind of funny is just the idea of how people say things they don't mean. They make lying promises. For instance, people say, I'm sorry I'm late. They're not sorry they're late. They're late every time. I'm sorry I didn't do that report. You're not sorry you didn't do the report. You never were going to do the report. Just tell me you weren't going to do it. Because as much as when we breach trust, we must start with an apology, we also must move to a solution and apologize seldom. When I talked to a friend of mine who's CEO of a company, and he was over in the Netherlands for a while, I said, what do you see as a difference from there to here in America? He said, well, all the lying apologizers. Over here, we don't mean it when we say we're sorry. And that's one example that you see every day. Say you're sorry seldom and mean it when you do. Move to a solution when you do, and I just might trust you.
Okay, so you're the trust guy. You're writing a book on it. You speak on it extensively. So what does David Horsager do in his own life to make sure there's a checklist that I can be trusted? Are there things you do on a daily or weekly basis?
We try to do many things. I mean, first we lay it out in our vision, in our mission, in our values. And of course, the problem with most companies, just like Enron had this great vision and this great mission, but they didn't model it. They didn't live it. So we want to start with saying this is what we're about, but then we want to systemize and do those things and live those things out. And we certainly try to systemize that we do those things. In fact, we have systems so that we keep promises, just even in our contracts, even in the way we deal with people. We ask the question, we try to ask the question in every decision, is this right? Not is it good, not is it even is it best, not even is it something that'll make us the most money, but is it right? And if we can answer that question, it's right, then that gets us on the right path. A lot of times, there's many other things we do, but and one other thing I personally do is I have a personal accountability group. So every year, once for 1 week, I meet with four guys, and we don't just go have fun. Yes, we might ski or do something fun for one of the 4 days, but then we each share through a series of about 20 to 50 questions every year. We each share for about 4 hours. And in that time, we hold each other accountable from year to year. We set goals. We've started companies as a result. We've had better marriages as a result. One of those guys I meet with every week, and we kind of talk through 8 questions. How are you doing in this? How are you living the way you say you're going to be living? So I'm not perfect. As much as I believe everything I write about, I wish I lived it every moment.
But in the book, in The Trust Edge, you have 8 pillars by which are also sort of milestones in which this whole idea is built upon. Just briefly give us a synopsis of those 8 pillars.
These 8 pillars came out of the research, and I did all my graduate research around this topic of trust, how it affects the bottom line. The first part was proving it out, saying this really is the singular uniqueness of the greatest leaders and organizations of all the time. It really does affect the bottom line more than anything, and I can talk about that more later. But the 8 pillars that rose to the top, these 8 uniquenesses that build the trust edge. Number 1 is clarity. People trust the clear, and they mistrust or distrust the ambiguous. We need to be clear in several areas. We need to be clear in our communications, clear in our vision, clear in our purpose, clear in our expectations, and clear in what we're going to do every day. Pillar 2 was compassion. People believe in those that think beyond themselves. Number 3 is character. People trust those that live by high standards. It's hard to trust someone who is a relativist, who has a standard not beyond themselves. Pillar 4 is competency. You know, as much as I might trust you, Larry, with my kids because I know your character, I will not trust you to give me a root canal because of your competency in that area. We have to be competent and stay fresh, relevant, and capable in the area that we want to be trusted. Pillar 5 is commitment. People trust those that are committed, that are willing to sacrifice. You think of people that would follow Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Jesus or others. They would sacrifice themselves because of their commitment to a higher purpose. Pillar number 6 is connection, the ability to connect with others. People want to be around, do business with, and work with people that have become friends that they can connect with. Pillar number 7 is contribution. At its core, this pillar is about results. People, at the end of the day, actually trust results. Now, we don't trust people to get those results in the wrong way if they have poor character or if they don't have any compassion. We see salespeople go to the top on getting a bunch of sales, but they over time, if they do it in the wrong way, they'll fail. And you see this in business all the time. So you need to get results. We don't just want high character or high competency. We want results. We want them to actually get something done, but we want it done in the right way to really be trusted. The final pillar, and really, in my opinion, the most encompassing pillar, is consistency. People trust those that are consistent. We don't want surprises unless the birthday's involved. We want to see that you're the same today and tomorrow. This is why we don't like moody people. We want to know what they're going to act like. Just be angry all the time. You swinging up and down all the time, it stresses me out. We trust people that are absolutely consistent. This is why we trust McDonald's. We might not even like McDonald's, but we trust them because we get the same burger in Frankfurt, Tokyo, and Cleveland. We know exactly what to expect, and that's what we want to have if we want to be trusted. Consistency is the only way to build a brand. It's the only way to build a reputation. It's the only way people remember and live out your vision. Consistency is king. In fact, in all these, if you're not consistent, you won't build trust. Inconsistent character is no character at all. Inconsistent compassion is really not that caring. Consistency is king.
Well, I know that you're writing the book from the proactive kind of standpoint. But let's say, for example, David, that I've read your book and I realize I have really violated a lot of trust, personally or professionally. What do I do now? I've got these 8 pillars, yep. But how do I rebuild the trust factor?
Really, as much as it might seem so daunting and so difficult, the place to start is not so difficult. It's really magnifying the pillars, looking at where you could build any or all of the eight pillars. The only way to rebuild trust to start with, the only way, is to make and keep promises. So until someone makes a promise and keeps it after breaching trust, I won't trust them. But if you make and keep a promise, then I start to trust you a little more and a little more. If you're even to rebuild that trust, to keep that promise, you're going to have to be even extra clear. You're going to have to be even more consistent. You're going to have to be held to even higher accountability if you've breached trust than if you never had. Look at right here in Minnesota, we had the 35W bridge collapse. I drove on 35W that day it collapsed. It collapsed. Lives were lost. 140,000 cars drive across that bridge every day, and several lives were lost. People were injured. But the Minnesota Department of Transportation at first lost trust. It came out that these gussets had been broken for a long time, and people weren't checking them. They were late in checkups and late in taking care of things. But then the governor, the state of Minnesota, and the Minnesota DOT did some significant things to rebuild trust. In fact, some people, yes, got fired. Major changes were made. Every bridge in Minnesota got checked. And that bridge was rebuilt better than ever, faster than ever expected. And the construction crew on that bridge received a $20 million bonus as a result. And to a large degree, Minnesota restored their trust because of clarity, because of making and keeping a promise, because of their new transparency, and because of changing and adjusting.
As you've been speaking, and of course, as the book becomes more into mainstream, are you getting feedback? How is this being perceived?
That's what is so fun about this. It really is a life-changing, organization-changing message. And it's not about me, it's about the message. Nobody remembers Dave Horsager, but they remember this trust idea. And they start to frame things differently and do things differently. We hear everything from, even at a business conference, we'll hear someone, or I'll get an email back that says, you know what, for the first time I've talked to my son. I have a way now to communicate with my son. Thank you. On the other side, just did an event in Florida not too long ago, and we got calls and emails back. In fact, I can remember one in particular where the guy said, I took one of your tips, one of your trust tips, and I've tripled my sales conversion since then. Now, that's an impact. ServiceMaster said, oh, we don't want to pay your fee. We said to them, I'll tell you what, if you don't feel like you make it back, that money back in 2 weeks by one of the trust tips, then we'll give you everything back. They paid the fee, and the president, not very often a president actually calls you back on something like this. President called back and he said, I just want to let you know, one of our teams did one of your ideas for 2 days and we made $50,000. Well, they didn't pay me $50,000 to come and speak for that 90 minutes, so it was very worth it, right? So we get to hear, it's so fun to hear the impact. And it's interesting, the broad scope of this in the athletic pro sports world, in the military, in companies. Yesterday, I was speaking at a faith-based organization in Orlando for the top leadership of the Salvation Army. It's fun to see the reaching impact of this message.
This is something a whole staff could read together, or somebody could give it as gifts or whatever. I mean, how do you recommend using the book?
We really were intentional. I was intentional about having it be a certain way. In fact, we picked the publisher based on someone that would keep this interactive format. So even though it's a 300-some-page book, even though it's being used in MBA programs and Masters of Organizational Leadership programs, it's really easy to read and easy to apply. At the end of every chapter, you'll see there's a highlights and questions. MSP, the International Airport, the director leads them through a book study. Keller Williams Real Estate is using the book all over the place. They call them Brown Bag Tuesdays, and they meet and they talk about the book. So you have this one way where you can just read a chapter and then you can apply it and go through the questions and say, how can I apply this? How can we apply this in our team this week or today? It's also pretty cool. It's got this red color in it and these tabs, and it's look-wise inside, it's different than most business books that look like a novel, just black on white. But it also has some exercises and some ways you can apply it tomorrow, that you can use it and apply it and change your organization, your leadership, your impact. The other thing is we have some tools. We have several tools. And one of them is the video, the Business Book Club video. So they can show a video to their team, just a 2 or 3 minute video of me talking about that pillar, and then they can talk about it. And so there's a video that goes with each pillar and each chapter. There's also a workbook. There's a 360 trust edge assessment, some of the other coaching and training, and some of these ways that we can even go deeper in this message like we've done for many organizations.
So David, you have a website. You obviously, there's places they can get the book. Tell us all that information.
TheTrustEdge.com or Dave Horsager. Gorsager.com is our website. You can go there. You can get some free resources, extra resources. If you buy the book, you can put your receipt in there, and you can get some even extra bonuses, some from friends of mine like Zig Ziglar and Nito Quibain and others that have given some free things to anybody who buys the book. You also can just go onto Amazon, and you can get the book and then still come back to my site and put in the receipt number, and you can get those free bonuses and get stuff off our site.
So what does the future hold? Is there a Trust Edge 2 in the making?
There's several things that I'm working on to follow this up. I will say this, even though I've got many more books and ideas and thoughts in my head about how we hope to help organizations and leaders grow and become trusted, this for me is the marquee message. It is the flagship idea, and it has a lot of long ways to go before I'm done with this. This is really my main thing. Now, I have some ancillary pieces that are just supporting this. We've got the Daily Edge that's going to come out. It's a kind of a productivity tip book that helps really with that contribution pillar. I want to do some things on accountability, some things on mission integration. And, you know, my background is growing up on the farm, how healthy things grow and sick things die, just like organizations. Healthy ones grow and sick ones die. But my main message, I really feel like long term, is all around the Trust Edge. And those other things will support and will help and will give other ways of building this main message.
Well, you're not only a prolific author, David, but you're also a speaker. And that's one thing maybe we should end on today is, who do you speak to and how do people get a hold of you for some kind of an event?
Well, you can go to DaveHorsager.com, and that's a good place to start. The TrustEdge.com is fine, and you can find out about what I do. But it's because of this message and because of the application to so many groups, I end up speaking to professional sports teams, to the military, to companies like Wells Fargo and Carlson Companies and the Salvation Army. And it's a very broad group of people, John Deere and Ameriprise and many, many others across the country and even around the world. So the message is applicable to a broad base. It can be managers, salespeople, HR people, trainers. It's very broad application, but I customize it or personalize it, this message, to that specific group so they can apply it in their way that will help them the most.
Spell your last name and give that website again so people can get there easily.
DaveHorsager.com, DaveHorsager.com.